Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to go?
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it right here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today. If you want to call in, 323-870-3857, and let's get it started with absolutely nothing this weekend. No fights to speak of, so we're going to go to the upcoming fights.
Whoa!
What?
Yeah, the fight of the weekend here. This is like one of the fights of the year nominees here with Michaela Mayer and Natasha Jonas. What a firefight this was. And you're going to just sweep that one under the rug? Not on my watch.
What are those two doing out of the kitchen? What do you mean? Like, what are you talking about? You watched that fight? Did you actually sit down and watch that fight?
It was a beautiful fight.
Was it on OnlyFans or like they?
It was 20 minutes of pure.
Oh, yeah? 20 whole minutes, huh? For a unification, right? How many belts were on the line there?
Just one.
One belt, and then 20 minutes they fight, and then they call themselves champions, right?
Listen.
That's what they do?
I mean, you'd be surprised what 20 minutes will get. You got you. I spent 20 minutes with the honey dips, and that's more than enough to enjoy myself.
How much do you have to pay for that as a massage parlor? Is it like 20 minutes?
Oh,
it's
you
like.
Know,
but you get discounts, though. You're like a frequent flyer over there.
Well, you know, it's just part of the package.
Absolutely.
Part of the benefits package here over at Beeb Industries. We got that. That's a tax write-off for us.
All right, well, let's talk about this cat fight here. Natasha Jonas, Michaela Mayer. What, what went down?
Well, first of all, there's huge outcry on Twitter after the fight.
Huge.
Everyone's
a lot of people. A lot of people watch this fight, huh? A lot of people
watch this fight. Except for you. Except for you.
Me and like 20 million others, you know.
So I thought this was a very competitive fight. I thought it was a close fight. I thought early on, as Tim Bradley said, I think Michaela Mayer was kind of lunging in a lot with her shots. She was coming up short with the jab. And I thought Natasha Jonas was countering very well, particularly with the right hook. She was landing a lot of good body shots. And you could argue, I gave her rounds 1-2. And let me just pull my card up because I have this fight close. I had this fight a draw. But I gave Jonas 1-2 and I gave Jonas 1-3, and yeah, I gave her 1-3 and 5, and 7 and 8. But I thought the first six rounds were close rounds. I thought one was pretty clear for Jonas. I thought three was pretty clear for Jonas, but two could have gone either way. I thought that was a really, really close round. I thought Michaela started coming into her own in round five, right? I thought she started coming into her own around five.
She had a good 2 minutes.
But that's what she said. But I thought Jonas was still carrying that round. But towards the end of it, then she started coming alive. And in the second half, that's when Mayer started changing up the tactics a little bit. She started going to the body more. And she was able to kind of shorten up the distance a little bit. Jonas was slowing down a little bit. And I think the body shots were starting to wear on Jonas. But again, round 7 and 8 was close. This was kind of like a real back and forth type fight. A lot of ebb and flow to it.
Real close 4 minutes there.
And I just thought that this fight really could have gone either way. I had this fight a draw. I thought Mayer, again, did much better in the second half than she did in the first. I thought she was coming up short with a lot of her shots. And she was missing with a lot of her shots because she couldn't establish a range properly. And I thought Jonas was doing very well countering her coming in. But, that's just as it always is in these close fights, you had this huge outrage on Twitter. Everyone's crying robbery, but I just didn't think it was a robbery. I thought this was a fight that could have gone either way. I thought this was action-packed. I thought Mayer finished very strong. I gave her rounds 9 and 10. And that's where a lot of her punches were landed. But that's where she really shined in those last two rounds. I got to give her credit. She finished very strong. And that's when she was starting to put the shots together. But early on, she had a hard time pinning Jonas down. And as soon as she would land a good shot, Jonas would come right back with a few of her own. So she was throwing a lot of punches, but Jonas was more accurate with her shots, and I thought she did better with the countering. And particularly early on, Jonas was really landing the body shots, and Mayer didn't start going to the body until the second half of the fight. So I thought it was a close fight.
I am completely fascinated that you actually watched this fight. I think it's like,
I mean,
wow,
you
actually
out.
Watched this? I'm missing out on
you
what?
You are missing out because, let's just put it this way. Because of your misogynistic
Would you
ways,
rather watch them in the ring or on OnlyFans? You tell me. What would you rather watch?
I don't want to sexualize these women. These women are athletes. They deserve to be respected. Okay?
I didn't say anything disrespectful.
They deserve to be respected, and you want to resort to them. And
Wait a minute. Are you saying all the girls on OnlyFans, are you saying that all the girls on OnlyFans shouldn't be respected? How dare you? You misogynistic pig.
Well, you classify the girls on OnlyFans as sex workers. These women
no,
are sex workers.
No, that's far from what I said. That is not even close to what I said.
So would you argue that the OnlyFans girls, the majority of them for the most part, are sex workers?
No, I wouldn't. No, I would not.
Look, give me your definition of these girls.
I would say they're content
OnlyFans.
Creators. I would say they are all content
and
creators.
What type of content are they creating?
What type of content?
Yeah.
I don't know. They create all different types of content.
Okay. All types of content. So they're on OnlyFans baking a cake, is what you're saying.
What's Michaela Mayer doing on OnlyFans? Women and OnlyFans are entrepreneurs. That's right. That's right. Not all of us are sexist like Beeb over here. Not all of us.
But yeah, like, but everyone was shaming anyone that said this fight was close. Everyone was shaming anyone that had it a draw. If you didn't have this fight for Mayer, you were tarred and feathered on Twitter.
I will tell you, I will tell you that I read a lot, and one of the articles that I read said that Jonas got like a hometown decision. They thought it was a hometown decision, that kind of thing. So, boxing, thank you so much, my friend. He said, did Beeb find out if everything is bigger in Texas?
Please, we have to go there so early in the show.
I didn't say anything. This is...
Please.
Oh,
let's reel it in, all right? Let's reel it in. This is getting out of control already.
Yeah, so that was the big fight. What about the undercard there? Was it a good undercard at least?
A lot of local fighters.
Yeah, it's shocking.
A lot of local fighters.
Shocking. But it was a good fight, though, you said.
I thought it was an excellent fight.
You thought it was an excellent fight? Would you rather watch that or watch, you know, Bungie and Ryder?
Well, I have to be honest. I do prefer watching the men's boxing more than I do the women's if I have to make a choice, if I'm being honest.
Sure.
But
you're no different
than
everybody else in the chat.
I'll take whatever I can get.
That's what I've heard about you. All right. Looks like the Lions are going to win their playoff game, so that's pretty good. Let's see here. Let's go to the boxing schedule, see what's up next weekend. You know what's up. Big one. Let's see here. January 27th. Now, the Zone has actually got two cards on the 27th. Let me see here. And that's it. They've got one from Belfast, Northern Ireland, January 27th. Sean McComb versus the dreaded TBA. Chevron Clark versus Tommy McCarthy. Who's promoting this one? This is the $30 from DAZN right here. There you go.
You don't have to worry about it anymore. You're not paying it.
You're darn right I'm not paying it. Jaime Munguia versus John Ryder, January 27th from Phoenix, Arizona. 12-round super middleweights, Gabriela Fundora versus Christina Cruz, and then with a throwaway co-main there. So let's talk about this, Beeb. This is a decent fight. This isn't like, you know, let's break this down here. For me, and I'll go first because I know you like John Ryder in this one. I like Munguia in this one. Let me tell you what, Munguia has a couple of advantages here. Number one, he's the house fighter. The crowd will be behind him. This is not a 50-50 fight. You know, by and large, Ryder's getting so much attention for not winning fights. You know what I mean? He's always the guy coming close and this and that, or he's fought. This guy's never been knocked out. This guy's never been knocked out. So what? Callum Smith hadn't ever been knocked down or out till last week either, you know?
Well, not to correct you, but way early in John Ryder's career, he did have a knockout loss, but I thought it was a questionable stoppage. It wasn't like a real claim, but
No. You're right, though. But a lot of people say that John Ryder is, you know, his toughness and everything
like
that.
He's very durable. He is
very,
very
durable fighter. Yeah, very durable fighter, you know? As far as the fight goes, man, look, Ryder doesn't fight well going backwards. Watch that Canelo fight, you know. And Derevchenko had good luck against Munguia, but he was aggressive. He was very aggressive. Ryder's not going to be that aggressive. That's not his style. He's going to be on the back foot the entire night because Munguia's going to come forward. And Munguia's got a lot of flaws, right? But he's strong, right? He's bigger, he's stronger, and he's faster. The size, strength of Munguia, it'll be his advantage right there. This fight, you know, I'll be honest with you. I know everybody is seeing this as like a 50-50 fight. I don't see it this way at all, man. I see this as a blowout either way, with a knockout or a decision. I think it's an easy win for Munguia. I really do. I don't think they would put Munguia in any danger. You know what I mean? They'll put him in there with a name, but they won't put him in there with anybody dangerous, right? Because if he loses, who's Oscar got left? He's got nobody. He's barely got Garcia at this point. You know, Jose Ramirez just signed with Golden Boy, but that's it. This is his cash cow right now. This is him and Ryan Garcia are his money guys right now. And there ain't no way De La Hoya is going to risk that.
Well, here's the thing. We looked at the Sergey Derevchenko fight. And I know we don't like to do combat math, and I understand when you say that. But when you look at that fight, John Ryder can do just about everything that Sergey Derevchenko can do. They have some similarities in the way that they're great inside fighters, right? They're aggressive. They fight very well in the pocket. They get low. They can make themselves a compact target. And when you got a guy like Jaime Munguia who has that long torso, and he's a tall guy and long guy, but again, he likes to come in and fight on the inside a lot, and he's not afraid to exchange and take shots to give shots. John Ryder has that very tight, strong defensive construct, and even when you do hit him, it's hard to hit him clean. He rolls shots very well. He's got the experience. You and I disagree on this one, but I thought he beat Caleb Smith. He's got a win over Danny Jacobs. He's got a win over Zach Parker. And he held his own against Canelo. He didn't, you know, he lost pretty much all, you know, 10 of the 12 rounds, but he made Canelo work. He pushed Canelo. Canelo had to work for every minute and every second of that fight, right? And thing about Munguia is he doesn't have the defensive abilities of Canelo Alvarez, right? He doesn't have the punch accuracy of Canelo Alvarez. Doesn't have the timing and the hand speed of Canelo Alvarez. So this is going to be another phone booth war, just like the Sergey Derevchenko fight was. But you got a younger guy in John Ryder. You got a bigger guy in John Ryder than Sergey Derevchenko. You got probably a harder hitter. You got a more physically stronger guy. You're talking about
harder hitter than Derevchenko?
I would agree. Yeah, I would say.
You think so?
Yeah, because Derevchenko is a smaller guy moving up. He's not 168 pounder like this guy John Ryder is.
Yeah, right? I'll go along with that.
So, you could debate it. I mean, I'm not. You know, I respect your opinion on it. I just think he's bigger, he's stronger, hits harder. I think he's probably just as quick as Derevchenko. And you said, you know, he's going to push Ryder back. I don't know. He wasn't really pushing Derevchenko back. I don't know.
Yeah, but Derevchenko was coming forward. Ryder's not going to come forward. Ryder went backwards. Ryder went backwards every single round in that Canelo fight. Every single round.
I think he went head on with Canelo, but Canelo pushed him back. Now, here's the problem. Here's the reason why he pushed him back was he's such a sniper with the counter punching, right? Mm-hmm. Munguia's not. It's not going to be hard to go to the body against him. Derevchenko had a field day. So, you know, I think Ryder's experience and the way he can put shots together on the inside and the way he can get up and underneath shots, right? And he can make himself a compact target against the guy who's got that long torso.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I like Ryder in this fight because I just think Munguia's defense is very poor.
Yeah, and not only that, and, you know, look at the size difference, too. I don't think Munguia does well against taller, you know, those taller, like I said, the Callum Smith. Now, Callum Smith is 6'3". What does Munguia got, about 3 inches on him or whatever? He's a bigger guy.
Munguia's like 6 feet. Callum, what's his name?
5'8" or something like that.
Ryder's like 5'9".
Yeah.
Ryder's 5'9". He's 6 feet. So he's giving up 3 inches in height.
Yeah.
But once again, you got a guy in Munguia that leans forward. He gives up his height.
Yeah, he
leans
does.
In with shots.
Yeah. Munguia's just, like I said, man, he's too strong for him. I really believe
all
that.
Right. This is going to be, you're going to be surprised.
I think it's going to be a decent fight. I think I'm looking forward to it because you're so excited about it, you know?
Yeah.
Because you and quite a few other people are taking Ryder in this fight, and, like, I don't see it. So maybe we'll see what it's about, man.
Yeah,
so
that'd be a good one.
Did we do a pie bet on this? I can't remember if we did or not.
Yeah, I'll do a pie bet with you on this
one. Yeah, let's do a pie bet on this one. I'll take Munguia. I'll take Munguia to win, and you'll take Ryder to win.
Take Ryder to win, man.
All right. Very cool. Yeah.
I'm ready for it, man.
You're ready.
I haven't done a pie bet in a long time. No one wants to do pie bets with me on the Fury fight because they know Fury's already shredded, man. You see pictures of this guy. He's got a six-pack. He's ready to go tomorrow if he has to.
It's over for Fury. I'm telling you right now, I think it's over for Fury.
Recency bias.
Recency bias. That was the heck of a recency, let me tell you that. All right, let me ask you guys this. So is it worth buying DAZN for this fight? Is it worth $30?
I would say so.
It's almost – actually, I should ask, you know – is it worth $60? Right?
Why? It's not going to be pay-per-view.
It's going to be, well, it's $30 a month for DAZN, right?
Yeah.
All right. So to me.
Sorry, could you say that again?
Oh, I hate when that stupid watch comes up. Is it worth buying for DAZN? Is it worth buying DAZN for? I don't think it is. And let me tell you, if you want to pay the monthly for DAZN, it's $30. And you have to cancel. Now, check this out. I did the research on this. You have to cancel with 30 days notice, which absolutely nobody does. So you're almost guaranteed to have to pay for 2 months. Who cancels? And not who does that? Seriously, who cancels 30 days out? Why do you need to cancel 30 days out? I never have to cancel HBO 30 days out.
Yeah, they have unethical business practices.
Of course they do.
And you know what? There's only one way you get your money back. When you have an issue with them, you have to dispute it on your credit card.
It's ridiculous.
There's people that have problems with that pay-per-view, the Ryan Garcia Tank Davis, and they kept emailing them, and they kept getting a runaround. They weren't refunding people. So ultimately, you have to friggin' dispute it on your credit card. That's how people got their money back. They had to dispute it on the credit card.
The only way I can think about it is if you buy it and then cancel it like the same day. Like, you know what I'm saying? And that way you've got 30 days in, so you're only guaranteed to have to pay for 1 month.
Yeah.
And what is the 1 month? Is it actually 30 days, or is it actually the month of February?
And the customer service over there is outrageous, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's ridiculous. So, you know, and I liked it better. I like it, you know, I wish ESPN would pick up these fights or somebody else would pick up these fights.
Well, ESPN is picking up a lot of them. Like Usyk versus Fury is going to be on ESPN.
Yeah.
Even that fight with Joshua Ngannou, that's going to be, like a lot of times you can get it on either or. Because Frank and Eddie are doing the co-promotions now.
Yeah.
So now, like, now you can buy it on either or. What was that, the last... I think the Day of Reckoning, you could have either have bought it on either ESPN Plus or DAZN. So,
and I want to say it was more expensive on ESPN, not by much. I thought it was. I don't know. Okay. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But I thought it was. I thought it was more expensive on ESPN.
I'm not sure.
You didn't have that stupid, you know, where you got to pay, you know, by the month or by the year or by whatever.
My biggest problem with DAZN is I don't like the production. And I just don't like a lot of the announcers. They're very irritating, the announcers.
Aaron Daly just said that the card in Belfast on DAZN was pretty good. That was the Sean McComb fight versus TBA, Chevron Clark versus Tommy McCarthy, Patty Donovan on that card. I don't really know of any of those fighters, so yeah, I don't.
Yeah, they're local guys.
Yeah.
So I'll give it a shot. I'll check them out.
I'm not checking them out. All right, let me go to the phone here. Let me get Robbie on here. Robert, you're
Hello,
live.
Guys. A final score for
hey.
You, Detroit 31, Tampa Bay 23.
Lions, son.
I take it easy there, freaking now.
Yep. So Detroit goes to San Francisco next Sunday, and, of course, Kansas City and Buffalo are getting ready to start. So, and
who do you got in that game?
I got Buffalo.
I got Buffalo,
My hated rival in my division is Kansas City, so I want to see them lose. Besides, and do you know this is the first ever road game in the playoffs that Patrick Mahomes has ever played?
Yeah.
So.
I heard that.
You know, so, I want to see the Chiefs go down, and I want to see them go down hard. I'm looking forward to Buffalo and Baltimore next week. Yep.
Robbie, please.
You're not a big fan of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce?
Oh, absolutely not. No. May they have a beautiful relationship, but it doesn't need to invade my football. no, thank you.
Please,
and Eric, I did not watch the fight yesterday. I could have cared less. I had football to watch. So that's what I watched. So,
I told you.
Robbie,
I told
what
you.
Is wrong with you, Robbie? You are such a fair-weathered fan. You didn't watch this fight?
No, I did not. I didn't care.
You missed a classic.
No, I did not.
So you came on here so you could read fucking football scores. What is wrong with you?
don't you know football is America's pastime now? It's no longer baseball.
Yeah,
no,
right?
Baseball is
no longer baseball,
stop
man.
Trying to flip the script. Stop trying to flip the script.
Yeah, NFL
is
most popular.
Hey, Joe, you can't get upset with me because I got Ryder on Saturday also. I think John Ryder will finally teach Jaime Munguia a serious lesson. It's about time. It is about time.
Oh, Eric, he doesn't realize it.
He's had too many cupcakes handed to him. So it's about time he gets a tough fight. You know, I am so sick of this Jaime Munguia hype and train and I want somebody to finally teach him a lesson.
Wow, that's kind of rough.
And
all he does is win fights.
Well, I think Oscar De La Hoya is one of the worst promoters in boxing. So, whatever happens to him is fine with me.
Wow.
So,
did you see that? Was it on HBO that De La Hoya thing?
Yeah,
I watched that.
I watched that.
Did you watch that?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
What a bastard.
That guy is completely jacked up, son.
What a bastard.
Robbie, let me ask you a question, Robbie. Is Eric rubbing off on you? Because did you just not – is Eric rubbing off on you? Did you just not watch the fight because there was women?
No, I told you last week I was going to take a break because I was going to watch the NFL playoffs. And I you guys have known me long enough.
Now you're a misogynist.
When I tell you I'm going to do something, I do it. So, come on.
No, you don't always follow through with what you're going to do. You don't always come through.
Yes, I do.
You told Mrs. You told Mrs. Herrick you were going to take the trash out last Tuesday. It's still on the freaking porch.
Well, number one, our trash has to go out on Monday, not Tuesday, and it's already out there.
Yes,
so there.
Well, again, you forgot to bring the barrels in after the trash got out.
The barrels in.
Yeah, right.
You know how you always do that.
You forgot
but,
the
and,
barrels.
As far as that card on Saturday from Belfast, I've seen a lot of those guys. A lot of them are pretty good. And it's not Eddie Hearn that promotes it. It's that other guy in the U.K., I think. Sollerin is his name, something like a, anyway.
Charlie Sollerin,
yeah.
Sollerin,
yeah.
Sollerin,
yeah. It's his card, so.
But
yeah.
who's because it's not Sollerin anymore, is it?
I believe it is.
Yeah.
I thought they sold.
No.
It's still Charlie Sollerin,
I believe.
I thought they had sold it. Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
Yeah.
No.
The dad should be in charge, but now it's done.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sourland Promotions, though.
Yeah. Okay.
Or Wasserman, I guess.
Wasserman.
Yeah, Wasserman. That's it. And
yeah, I told you guys both took a dump on it, and I was right. So there you go.
Yeah. And didn't
Wasserman. Just like I'm right about the fight next week.
Hey, didn't Wasserman used to be connected with PBC?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
But yeah, no, that's who those guys are, Eric. But no, now Mangia may probably win because he'll be the house fighter. But I'm really hoping that John Ryder will show everybody that Jaime Mangia is not who he's cracked up to be. And if Mangia wins this, I still want to see his competition stepped up. Like, I would eventually like to see him in the ring with, Edgar Berlanga. He's another one that needs to prove himself, you know? I mean...
Well, you say you want to pop up his competition, but is that what they're doing with Ryder?
Ryder would be... Joe, would you agree that Ryder and Dervinchenko would be a similar step? It's not a step up?
I would say Ryder is a touch above Dervinchenko because he's been at the weight, and
yeah.
Dervinchenko really wasn't a super middleweight. He was a guy who
was
enough.
Okay.
And Ryder fought for titles. Ryder fought for titles at super middleweight.
That's true. But what do you think happens to, speaking of super middleweights, or now light heavyweight, what do you think happens to Callum Smith? Do you think he comes back or what happens with him? Because that's going to be a tough loss to come back from.
I could see Caleb Smith fighting someone like Anthony Yard.
Oh, that would be
a
good thing.
I could see that fight happen.
Caleb Smith ain't coming back. That would be a good UK scrap, Joe. That's a good one. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could still get a couple local fights out of him, maybe.
Okay.
He ain't coming back. He's going to be worthless if he comes back.
I mean, he really will.
He's not the same fighter, man. You're not going to take that kind of, you know, you're not going to get brutalized like that and then come back the same guy. You're not.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, you could be right, Eric.
I mean, completely got walked over by Canelo, completely got walked over by Better-B.
That was a bad beating. That was a really bad beating. He's never been beat up like that before.
The Better-B beating was more severe than the Canelo beating, Eric, because he got totally dismantled. So, you know, that's why I asked the question. I wonder if he is able to come back, because sometimes after a beating like that, the fighter's never the same. So.
Well, I would be surprised if he fought again. I don't see it. He's still
up in the air about it. He hasn't said whether he's going to fight or not.
Yeah, maybe he ought to put that fight in and watch that.
Speaking of fighters that may never fight again, what about Errol Spence? I mean, you talk about a fighter that may never fight again. There's a good candidate right there.
He's got cataract surgery. He's got cataract surgery. But he was supposed to have that before the last fight.
That's right.
Yeah, something fishy.
I don't care. I mean, you could have gave him four eyes in there, and he wasn't going to win that fight.
Well, But I feel bad for Bud Crawford because he's tied up with this French rematch. And, you know, isn't there a way for him to get out of that contract so he can fight somebody else?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's waiting to see what's going on. But, yeah, there's got to be a deadline.
There's got to be a deadline on that.
There better be because, you know, Terrence Crawford
because
only
can't just
fought,
sit there and wait.
Yeah, Terrence Crawford only fought once last year, so. I think if he goes up to 154, I'd like to see Crawford against Tim Zhu.
Yeah.
I love that.
I love that fight. I think that's a really good fight.
Put that fight in Australia, and Crawford will make some serious money because the people in Australia will definitely pay for him to be there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yep.
It'd be a good fight.
Sure.
Yep.
All right, Robbie.
All right, see you.
Put you back on hold. All right, let's talk about that. So we got the news and rumors coming up here. So this was crazy, B. This first one was crazy to me because we all expect something and then, you know, we're getting something else, it sounds like. So I've been reading quite a few places and it's only a rumor, but the rumor is that Canelo Alvarez will face Jermall Charlo, Jermell's older brother or Jermell's heavier brother, and it will be on May 4th on Amazon Prime. And this isn't the fight we were really looking forward to. No. You know, why is this really that intriguing to us? I mean, what about Benavidez? Why? Help me out here. And again.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm hoping it's wrong. Hope it's just a rumor because there was also a rumor floating out there that it would be Munguia. So maybe they're just floating names out there to see how the public reacts to it. But one of the things I've heard was, okay, yeah, he'll fight Jermall Charlo in May, and then he'll fight Benavidez in September. So I guess they're hell-bent on having that Benavidez as the last fight. So it seems. I don't know. Again, I don't know. But it's implied by a lot of people that they want that fight to be in September. I don't know. You know, I don't understand why they can't just do it next and have a rematch clause.
Too much stuff can happen. You know, he can lose. Everybody can lose. It's silly.
I think we've waited long enough for this Benavidez fight. Let's just do it. Let's just do it in May. And that's it. You know, I'm hoping it's not going to happen. I'm hoping it's just a rumor, but it's just something I can't get excited about. I know sometimes we poo-poo a lot of these fights, and then when the fight gets close, then we start gaining some interest in it. I don't think I could ever be interested in this fight, not after what I saw with Jermall, not after what I saw in Jermall in the last fight. You know, I can't get excited about the Charlo brothers anymore. I just can't.
I don't understand the fight. You know what I mean? I mean, look, man, we went in there and we saw, you know, him fight Charlo, and it was a complete walkover. That fight was not competitive at all. Charlo ran the entire fight. He didn't want to engage. You could tell he gave Canelo way too much respect. And I mean, why would we want to see this fight? You know what I mean? Why would we see him fight his brother who's the same fighter, really? I mean, it really is. They're not like these two different, you know, entities in the sense that they fight two different ways or something like that. They fight the same exact way.
Yeah.
I don't understand why that fight can't take place. What is it about Benavidez? Because that's an easy fight to make. They're all in PBC. Charlo?
I don't know, man.
Listen, man, the fight's going to make a ton of money. I get it. People are going to watch it and everything like that. But that's not the fight that we want to see. That's not the fight that's out there. Why would you choose it? Why would you wait till September? That makes no sense either.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it.
I mean, Cinco de Mayo, September 5th, it doesn't matter. They're both big holidays.
And then Benavidez, he's busting out at the seams right now too. So how much longer can he make 168?
Well, you wonder. Yeah. I mean, well, that's, you know.
Is that the plan? Let's keep letting him have
let's
to stay longer and longer.
Yeah, let's weight drain him, and then who knows? Who knows? I don't understand it. I really don't. It's not really a fight that, you know, I'm really interested in. I mean, don't get me wrong. We're going to watch it. Yeah, it's a big fight. It's a Canelo. It's a big fight. We'll watch it. But I don't really understand, like, why is that fight happening? Why? What?
And I guess,
you know.
I guess the good way to look at it is he'll more than likely most definitely fight Benavidez in September. But again, like you said, anything can happen, right? Anything can happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, and take it for granted, like I said, it's a rumor. I hope it's just a rumor. I hope it's not true. Where did you hear that they were calling out Munguia?
Oh, that was being floated around about, like, earlier in the year, like in December, November, December time. Yeah, that was floated out there.
Really?
Yeah.
So Munguia,
The thing, what's happening is there's a lot of Mexican press floating these fights out there. And then the United States press is just picking up on them. Because a lot of the Mexican press and the websites over in Mexico, they don't really like Canelo. A lot of them don't.
Mm-hmm.
And they try to, like, put information out there, I think, to make him look less than desirable. Like, the big thing over there is, oh, he's not fighting top guys and stuff like that. And he's taking the easy route. He's not doing what Chavez did. And it's kind of like the same people that put out that Munguia rumor are putting out this rumor, and then the United States boxing websites just jump all over it. So, who knows? I'm not saying this can't happen. This won't happen. I'm not saying this is 100% false. I'm a little skeptical about it. I'm hoping that it's wrong.
Yeah.
I just don't want to see another because here's the thing. We got the third Golovkin fight, which was something I wasn't crazy about. Then we got the Ryder fight, which was something I wasn't crazy about. The Charlo fight was okay, but then the way it turned out, now I'm looking, do I want to see this again with the other brother?
Well,
who's not all the way back, in my opinion. So, again, how many of these fights can we see in a row?
I thought, I tell you what, I was excited about the Charlo fight when I thought he was fighting Jamal to begin with. Then I found out he was fighting the younger guy or the smaller one, and I'm like, Jamal, and I'm like, all right, well, let's see how he does. And that was a complete walkover. And so I have no desire to see him fight the other brother. For what?
Yeah. So we'll see what happens, man. I mean,
Reese Mack says Jamal might give a real effort.
Yeah,
listen,
he might.
I think
Jermell
gave. Listen, I think Jermell gave a real effort. I really do. I mean, you know, he's just not in his league, man. It's just not. I mean, I don't think he was scared of him. I think he felt his power. I think that he was kind of in awe in there. I don't see the Jermell fight going any different, though.
Yeah, I don't see it. Because Jermell was supposed to be the better of the two.
Right. That's what everybody was saying prior to that fight.
Well, that's the thing. Like, now we're going to get the lesser of the two. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Fight Doctor says Jermell offered no resistance. You're right. But he was just clearly outgunned in there, too. I mean, it wasn't like he wasn't trying. I mean, he knew he was outgunned. You know?
Yeah.
Let's talk about this one, because this is another one. Oscar De La Hoya and Ryan Garcia at each other's throats again. So De La Hoya went online, I guess, and indicated that Jose Ramirez will be facing Ryan Garcia next. And I think that's a good fight. Jose Ramirez just signed with Golden Boy, I guess. That's a good fight, no?
It is a good fight, but it's not the fights that Ryan originally wanted. He's talking about Raleigh Romero.
Do you think Ramirez is better than Raleigh Romero?
I think Ramirez probably is better than Raleigh Romero. I would argue about that.
I would think so. I would think so.
But I think the Romero fight would be more intriguing because both guys are vulnerable, whereas Ramirez is a little bit more sound technically. Right, so I think it's tough. Like, who would you favor? I think I would favor Ramirez against Ryan right now because Ramirez gave Josh Taylor a hell of a fight.
Yeah.
He's a former world champion, and Ryan still hasn't really proven himself. So I think the Raleigh fight stylistically would be a better fight for Ryan because both guys are flawed, both guys can punch, so it has that intrigue level to it, more so than the Ramirez fight.
Yeah.
You know?
I think so, too. Now, Oscar De La Hoya had indicated, like I said, Jose Ramirez is next for Ryan Garcia. Ryan Garcia immediately goes on social media and says the following quote. No Ramirez. Let's make that clear. Ryan Garcia versus Oscar De La Hoya at this point, end quote. What on earth is going on over at Golden Boy?
Did you see what Raleigh just tweeted out? Because now Oscar was saying that Raleigh priced himself out. So then
that was
kind
of the rumor. That was the rumor that he had priced himself out.
So then Ryan was trying to move over to fight Isak Cruz. But now Raleigh tweeted out that, I'm fighting Isak Cruz next. You're not getting him. And I guess Raleigh was trying to, like, insinuate that De La Hoya and his team were acting like prima donnas and he didn't price himself out. So this thing has turned into one big, gigantic soap opera.
I don't understand. And, like, what is going on there?
You don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
It looks like Raleigh may be fighting Isak Cruz next.
So who's Garcia going to fight?
Who knows? He may end up having to fight a Jose Ramirez. But here's the thing. You fight Jose Ramirez, what do you get out of that? No title, right? It's not an eliminator.
It's a good fight,
right? It's a good fight, but from his perspective, what does he get out of it? If you're his manager, let me ask you this: if you're his manager, do you take that Ramirez fight?
No.
I would try to put together that Romero fight.
Right.
The Raleigh fight.
And, I mean, Raleigh priced himself out. I mean, how much – you know what I'm saying? Like, how much could he possibly ask for?
Yeah, I don't know if he priced himself. I don't know. I don't know if Oscar just wanted to probably do an in-house fight because they did sign Ramirez, right? Maybe he didn't want to go across the street again. Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. Well, and you know what? I don't blame him. If I'm De La Hoya, all right, I don't blame him. I'd want to keep it in-house too.
Yeah, I mean, that's
– because Raleigh's in PBC – you're going to have – you don't know where you're going to fight. You know what I mean? Like, I would assume DAZN's going to pick that up. But, I mean, you know, you're still across the street. So, yeah, I think that I don't know, man. I don't where does he go from here? You know, especially if Raleigh picks up Cruz, Isak Cruz. I mean, who does De La Hoya – aside from Jose Ramirez, who does De La Hoya have for him to fight?
I mean, you got Barboza over there now. You do some fights with Eddie Hearn. Get the guy Paro over there. You got Hitchinson. Maybe Regis Prograis, maybe.
Yeah,
these are all the zone fighters, but I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah, they don't have much. I mean, they really don't. Much. And so he's got to go across the street. It just does.
I mean, either that or fight Ramirez or Barboza. Which, again, what do you get out of that?
Right.
What do you get out of fighting Ramirez or Barboza?
You don't, you know.
Because those are fights you could lose, but you win those fights, does it get you any closer to the title?
Nacho says that he doesn't want any tough fights, talking about Garcia here.
Yeah, he's not really looking for legacy, it seems. He's looking to make money.
Sure.
I get it.
Sure.
It's his choice.
You know. So just let's double back to Canelo for a minute because this is intriguing to me. It's a 3-fight deal.
Correct.
It's a 3-fight deal. He's fought Charlo. He's going to fight the other Charlo, maybe. And then, like,
Benavidez would be the crescendo at the
maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. That's the other thing. Listen, man, I don't know that that fight is 100%. You know what I'm saying? Like, is that fight 100% if...
Well, they've been indicating that it is. Jose Benavidez Sr. saying, yeah, we could more than likely get him in September. Other people have said it. So, again, this is all hearsay. Most of the rumors are that he's going to be fighting someone else in May and Benavidez is going to be in September. That's what the rumors are.
But think about this. Why wouldn't there be a rematch clause on there?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, just fight him in May and have a rematch clause in it.
Because if there was a rematch clause, then you could fight him again or whatever.
Fight twice.
And he can have it, a rematch clause just his way. You know, like
that's
if
what
he
I'm
loses. Then
if he's a champion, yeah.
Right.
You just have a rematch clause. If I lose, if he loses, I don't have to fight him again. That's exactly right. I mean,
right.
I'm sure David Benavidez's team would take it. So,
yeah.
That's what I've been saying all along. Just fight Benavidez in May and put a rematch clause in there.
Yeah. That's it. and then you can fight whoever, you know.
And if you beat him, you can fight whoever you want.
But
fight
I know. Yeah.
Offer be the third fight. If you beat,
I'm going to tell you this. If he goes, if he beats, and he'll beat, what's his face? He'll beat the other Charlo brother. It would not surprise me at all to see him fight Crawford.
Crawford
would not surprise me at all. Because they are very close in weight. Crawford can go up to 154 right now. What is it? Canelo's at 168. Yeah, I don't know, man.
It's a stretch,
and I imagine they can come up with some kind of catch weight or something like that to figure out who the best pound for pound fighter ever is. And that's what they're gonna bill it as.
I think Crawford would let him come in at 158. I mean, I don't think he would have a choice in the matter.
No, I don't think he would either. He's not the cash cow, man. He just is what it is.
Yeah, so I think if I was Crawford, I would come in at whatever. I wouldn't try to come in at 168. I would just come in at whatever weight you want to come in at. Like when Sugar Ray Leonard fought, you know, when him and Tommy Hearns fought each other, like they didn't even fight at that full 168-pound limit. They fought at like 162 pounds.
Yeah. What? Okay, so let me ask you this. Right, who's the bigger fight, Canelo Benavides or Canelo versus Crawford?
I think Canelo Benavides is bigger than Canelo Crawford.
You think so?
I do. I
don't know.
I do.
Crawford hasn't proven it.
Crawford hasn't proven he can sell without. You know, we had that Spence fight.
Yeah,
but what else other than that? How did
Benavides do in his pay per view with Andrade?
Not great, but here's what you have to understand.
That was a horrible paper, yeah.
Here's what you have to understand. The reason why Spence Crawford did so well is because it was a five-year buildup, and people were chomping at the bit for that fight. People have been chomping at the bit for this Benavides fight.
Mexican-American.
They're both West Coast guys. You throw this in Vegas. Benavides is from Arizona. It's a can't miss. Now, point I was trying to make about Crawford is Crawford outside of Spence, like he's not a huge draw, right? But again, neither is Benavides. But it's not about who's the draw. It's about what fight have the people been clamoring for more, right?
Yeah.
You again, I've always said this. It's not about what a specific guy did before. It's what two guys do together.
Yeah.
And no one. This has been one of the most called for, highly anticipated fights in the last 3 or 4 years.
Right.
Everyone's been asking for this fight. This Crawford fight just came up out of nowhere, out of the blue. Right?
I would agree with that.
That's why I say what I say.
I don't know. I think they're both definitely marketable fights.
I'm not saying
the
Crawford fight would be a bomb. I'm not saying it would be a bomb, but I just think the Benavides fight would be bigger.
You know, it's tough because, like I said, you got two Mexican fighters in there, Mexican-American and a Mexican fighter, and those always draw big crowds. But I think that the casuals, everybody can get behind who's the best fighter ever. You know what I mean? And that's what they'll market it as. Not to mean, you know, listen, we both know neither one of those guys is the best ever, but that's what they'll market it. That's what I would market it as, the pound-for-pound
and
greatest ever, you know.
And I will say Crawford did do the victory lap after that fight, and he did go on a lot of shows. He did.
Yeah.
He did increase his profile after that Spence fight. He was on everything. He was on everything. So
and casuals will eat that up. I think casual fans will eat that up.
I don't want to discount Crawford, but I just think the Benavides fight would sell more.
I would want to see the Benavides fight more than I would want to see a Crawford fight, but
More of a story and history behind that Benavides fight. You got the passing of the torch, the older guy to the younger guy.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, Mexican American. It's just a can't miss, bro.
What's going on with the? You remember when like the 80s and stuff like that, and the 90s with Chavez, 140, 140. Now we got 168, 175.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, gonna have a Mexican heavyweight soon, man.
Yeah, we had it. We had a Mexican American heavyweight with John Andy Ruiz. That was a one off, right?
And it was a one off though.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, that was a one off.
that might not happen for a while.
Yeah, I was. You know, I remember it was him and Chris Arreola, and that's pretty much about it. John Ruiz was what, Puerto Rican?
He was Puerto Rican, the quiet man.
He was good. He was good. He had a really good style in the sense that a real effective style. He had a spoiler type style.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's like you did not want to watch him fight, but he was good. You know what I mean? He was almost like Klitschko, watching Klitschko fight.
Hey,
where he would tie you up, and that's it. Klitschko, you know.
Got to win over Holyfield.
What are you going to do? Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And he bought that Chelsea High School football team equipment once. So
Did he really? Now, he's from Boston, right?
Yeah, but he moved to Vegas. He's from Chelsea, Mass., like 10 minutes from Boston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that. Him and Peter McNeely, huh?
Yeah, he's from Chelsea. Peter's from Metfield. He's on Westfield, Western Mass.
This is for
Snubby.
Who's Snubby? I think that was
Westfield.
Do you know when he was in rehab with Chris Farley?
Was he really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And Chris Farley ended up becoming friends.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. Xylee Zhang versus Joseph Parker is set for March 8th. This will actually be on the undercard of the Joshua Ngannou fight. So I think that's a good fight.
Parker is very live in this fight. I'm actually picking Parker to win a decision in this fight.
I think so. I think he's coming in, man. The fact that he put it on Wilder like he did.
He's quick. He's got the foot speed. He's a good inside fighter. He can take that mid-range away from Zhang. He's a really crafty guy.
I agree. Lomachenko versus Kambosos is set for May 12th in Perth, Australia. You like that one?
I'm not crazy about it, but I don't hate it either.
I'd like to see Loma fight somebody different, but
I'd like to see Loma have a comeback fight, get that vacant IBF title. And you know, one thing about Loma, you know that he'll eventually fight the top guys. He'll eventually fight Stevenson. He'll eventually fight some of the other guys at that weight class.
Yeah.
So you know he's not gonna feast on a steady diet of mid to low level guys. So
there you go. All right, let's go to 806. This is Big Texas.
No, please. No.
806, you're live.
Hello, everybody. How y'all doing?
We're doing great, Big Texas. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to hear, Beav. How you doing, Beav? Hello, Beav.
How you doing, man? How's it
all
going?
All right. Sorry I don't have a point for you, Beav, today, but I'm ready to sing. I want to serenade Beav, and I'm ready to get to it. And I hope everybody enjoys it. The most important thing is that Beav enjoys it.
Sure.
Here we go. I hope y'all ready. Beav, I want to invite you to the YMCA. Me and Beav at the YMCA. Make it look everything and make it feel okay. Me and Beav playing at the YMCA. Playing with our pool sticks at the YMCA. I said, young man, grab your sex toys and your gym bag. We could play freeze tag at the YMCA. Me and B playing gay games at the YMCA.
I'm going to put you back on old Big Texas. You know what the funniest part about this is? So as soon as he came on, Robert dropped right off. Beav, you ever going to meet him?
Hell no.
Why not?
Are you kidding me?
Why not? He's down for you, you know?
Not my cup of tea, bro.
Are you sure?
It
sounds like you're his cup of tea.
I can't control that.
That's right. You can't.
Can't control that. I'm strictly honey dips.
You're strictly honey dips. Boxing said, where's Jerry Tasker? He's probably joined that victory yesterday by the Ravens, so there you go. Nando Yama says, folks gave Haney grief for fighting supposedly a trending down pro grace. What do they call Kambosos? You know, I'm not a big fan of this fight. This is a money fight, I know, because it's in Australia and they're going to make a lot of money off it, but
here's the thing. Maybe this is a cop-out. I don't like the fight either. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
But
I'm crazy about it.
Lomachenko's got a track record of fighting top guys. He's
You can't.
I don't want to go in too hard on Lomachenko because he does fight good guys, and I said, he will eventually fight a good fighter. He just wants to get that if he gets that IBF title off of Kambosos, then he goes to fight Shakur Stevenson in a unification fight. I'd love to see, before Lomachenko retires, I'd love to see him get all the belts again.
Yeah, I don't know. You think he beats Stevenson?
I think he could. I'm not sold on Stevenson, to be honest.
I'll tell you what, I didn't think that he was going to beat Devin Haney, and I thought he beat Devin Haney. And I'm a huge Devin Haney fan.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73. And, guys, we will see you next week.